From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, Brother George. In Luke, the 9th chapter, in verse 22, Jesus Christ said, "The Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." The blood-red words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Luke, the 9th chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May those who seek God's grace and love and mercy open their hearts today to the Holy Spirit of God's love. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your mercy. Amen. Well, welcome to all of you. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. It's so good to talk to you. Some listen all over America and the world on the internet. Welcome in the name of Jesus Christ to you all. Last week, you'll remember, we talked about a hit and run in Hartford, Connecticut, and how no one would render aid to the injured victim. And I asked if something outrageous like that could happen here in Fort Worth. Well, this week, we got our answer. A man was working underneath his car, and it rolled over him and crushed him. Someone driving by saw what happened and stopped to render aid. The Good Samaritan, as he is being called, stayed until medical aid arrived, then took off, nameless, but not thankless. This was in Bedford, actually, so no, the type of thing that happened in Hartford, Connecticut, did not happen here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. By the way, the authorities in Hartford are still trying to find out who did the hit and run, and the victim, 78-year-old Angel Torres, remains in the hospital, paralyzed from the neck down. The victim here in Bedford said he knew better than to be working on his vehicle like he was, that it was a foolish thing. Now, this is not a political statement, but rather a statement that someone like the Good Samaritan who came to his aid was acting like Jesus Christ. But it bothers me when conservative Christians say we should be responsible for what we do. Well, that man that was foolishly working under his vehicle should have known better, and thank God that the man who came to his aid didn't say to him, "Well, you're responsible for the mess you're in. I just won't help you." I want all my conservative Christian brothers and sisters to think about what they believe politically about us being totally responsible for our actions. Maybe if we, all of us, throw some Christian compassion into the equation and forget about who is responsible or why, and just concentrate on the immediate pain and suffering, we might all be better off. And also in the news this past week, a story of the tragic deaths of four Boy Scouts in western Iowa caught out in a tornado. Michael Chertoff, the head of Homeland Security, said it was an act of God. It wasn't. God had nothing to do with their deaths. The devil can and does control weather, bad weather, to bring chaos to the world. Don't blame God for the horror the devil does to us. Today is Father's Day here in America. This is the day each year that we traditionally recognize the fathers among us. Neither my father nor Pat's father is still with us, but happy Father's Day to David Jr., our oldest son, and Tim, our son-in-law, the father of three of our beautiful granddaughters. It is said that a grandfather is a father with twice the experience. So happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there, no matter how much experience you have. Today's Bible reading comes from the New Testament, the Gospel or Good News, the book of Matthew, from the 17th chapter, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, "Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first?" He replied, "Elijah is indeed coming and will restore all things, but I tell you that Elijah has already come." And they did not recognize him, but they did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man is about to suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them about John the Baptist. That's our Bible reading for today from Matthew, the 17th chapter. May God's mercy be upon us all, and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. My wife, Pat, and I, had a dinner not too long ago at the new Montgomery Plaza on West 7th Street, just about 2 miles west of downtown Fort Worth. The new plaza has gone from Monkey Wards, as Montgomery Wards was lovingly called here in Fort Worth, to an Asian fusion diner and shops with Starbucks thrown in, and of course those swanky new apartments sitting where Monkey Wards merchandise used to be, all in the span of a lifetime. So before it's all gone, I'd like to tell you a story. Most kids growing up on the west side of Fort Worth in the 40s knew all about the old tamale man. He was an old Mexican man that stood on the northeast side of the West 7th Street Bridge, about where the beautiful new Cash America building is now, selling homemade tamales that his wife had made out of what looked like a small ice cream cart that I guess he had constructed. The old tamale man waved at every kid coming by in the back seat of the family sedan, daddy driving, mama sitting up front. He'd sell us tamales by the dozen, wrapped up in old Fort Worth Press or Star Telegram newspapers and tied neatly with string. We'd take them home behind Montgomery Wards and open them up all steaming hot and eat them with crackers. I've had lots of treats when I was a kid, but those tamales had to have been the best. Mr. Bryant, our next-door neighbor, had a dog that he said he had trained to bark only at the Mexicans that lived on Weisenberger Street behind us. But I saw that dog bark at anyone walking by. I think it was Mr. Bryant who only barked at Mexicans. About that time, there were signs in downtown stores that said whites only and colors only. So Mr. Bryant wasn't the only one that barked at anyone different. Some still do. I learned a lifelong lesson growing up behind Montgomery Wards. Every year, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus would set up their tents in what was then a huge vacant lot across Carroll Street from us. And finally, I was old enough to join the other boys in setting up the circus, and our pay was to be a free ticket. Well, I got there at the crack of dawn, and they worked us hard, along with the elephants. Every time we'd finish one tent, the boss would say, "One more tent, boys, and you'll get your tickets." You know, he kept us going a long time that day, teasing us that way. I never fell for that trick again, except maybe two times when I was in the Marines and another when I was a country music disc jockey on WBAP radio, but those are other stories. Now, my daddy, O.C. Perkins Sr., who worked at the lumber company across the street from Monkey Wards, would eat his lunch in Trinity Park. One day he said a kid who lived in those Quonset huts on University Drive that they'd built for World War II GIs and their families came running by with a bunch of dead squirrels slung over one shoulder and a shotgun over the other. The boy told my daddy, "We just moved here and I never seen so many squirrels. I'm a-going back home to get some more shotgun shells." My daddy liked to have died laughing. But he did gently tell the kid that Trinity Park was a refuge for all the wildlife, including all those squirrels. All of us kids went to West Van Zandt Elementary. It was on the corner of Lancaster and University Drive, and we'd walk up there and back. And They've torn it down now, but if I'd have known I was going to grade school in what was to be known later as the Cultural District, I'd have tried a lot harder. It was there in 1948 when our teacher, Ms. Walsh, came in one chilly November morning and said, "Children, Mr. Truman's been reelected president." And when the rodeo and the Fat Stock Show was in town at the Coliseum every January, we just sit there and gaze out at the carnival rides across the street. It was some kind of torture. The old tamale man went out of business, I guess, when the West 7th Street Bridge was greatly damaged in the May 49 flood and we had to cross the Trinity River on a temporary pontoon bridge. I grew up, and joined the Marines, so maybe that's what put him out of business, all of us growing up and going away, but I don't know, though. There are always tamale men, and there are always kids. Because now that I'm as old as the old tamale man, when I think of that old man and him waving at us kids, I get to thinking about the past saying a sweet hello to the future, and the future smiling back. The dreams of the past mixing with the hopes of the future to give us the joys of today. We'll all have tamale men that we all remember. I guess that's what a vision is, the dreams of the past mixing with the hopes of the future to give us the joys of today. Actually, the dictionary has several definitions of vision, and the two that I want to talk about today on Father's Day as a father's vision are the definitions, a mental image produced by the imagination, or the other one, the mystical experience of seeing as if with the eyes, the supernatural, or a supernatural being. Is believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior a vision then? The mystical experience of seeing as if with the eyes, the supernatural, or a supernatural being? Or could it be just the other definition of vision, a mental image produced by the imagination? Depends upon your belief, doesn't it? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? In our Bible reading for today from Matthew about the story of the Transfiguration, God tells Peter and us, "This is my Son," this is speaking of Jesus Christ, "this is my Son, the Beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. This is my Son in whom I am proud, well pleased." A father's vision, a father telling us how he is proud of his son. What could be more fatherly, indeed more like us humans? We are and we should be proud of our children. And here's God telling us he is proud of Jesus Christ. And more important for us is to listen to what Jesus Christ says. This is the reason I named my ministry the Jesus Christ Said Ministry. I felt my calling was to bring us back to the core commands from Jesus Christ, to love one another, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to love our enemies. These are not easy commands to follow from the Son of God, are they? But just as we love our children, we are to heap the same love on children of other men, other fathers, the children of another father's vision. We are to love all earth's children as our own because God loved his own Son, Jesus Christ, and told us so in the Bible. We are to do no less with our children than God did with his. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had many visions. Several places Jesus Christ says he's going to die on the cross and be raised up on the third day. Certainly this would fit the definition of a vision that we talked about a few moments ago, where a vision is the mystical experience of seeing as if with the eyes, the supernatural, or a supernatural being. Pardon me. Being raised from the dead after having been in the tomb for 3 days is a supernatural thing. Surely is not a natural thing. You don't go out to the cemetery and 3 days after someone's funeral, here comes that person in full body out of the grave to live again among us for a few weeks before ascending into heaven, as Jesus Christ did after Easter. Well, this Jesus Christ being raised from the dead is certainly supernatural. How did he know? And why did he know? Jesus Christ knew he was to die on the cross before he was even in Jerusalem. This proves that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, is God here on earth. This is proof positive if you ever needed it. The Bible proves he was God. Now, you have to believe the Bible The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is not the only way we followers of Jesus Christ hear God speak to us, but it is the most powerful way. Because not only did we have to ask the questions, how did Jesus Christ know he was about to die on the cross? And how did Jesus Christ know he was going to be raised from the dead on the third day? And more importantly, why did he know this? Because he is God. And it was the Father's vision that this would happen. Here's another question for you. Why didn't his followers recognize his visions? The Bible is the Word of God. Here's the story I picked off the internet at www.ourcovenant.org, written by Pastor Dan from Riverside Covenant Church in West Lafayette, Indiana. The story goes like this. Our neighbors have a boy that is a few months older than Adelaide. That's his daughter. He loves to play golf in the yard and is well known throughout the neighborhood as the Tiger Woods of plastic golf. Adelaide is not so great. This past weekend, many Tiger was playing in the yard, and Dana, Adelaide, and I went over to play too. Rather than actually hit the golf balls, though, Adelaide preferred to hold the golf club and fling it wildly around, hitting everything and everyone that was within reach. I tried to help her hold the club and swing it towards the golf ball, but she instead flopped on the ground to demonstrate her independence and lack of need for me. As she got up, I found myself standing over her, wanting her to grab the club, turn around, and say help. I wanted her to acknowledge that she needed me. I wonder if this is not how God looks at us. We flail and flop through life, demonstrating our independence, while our all-knowing, all-powerful, all-present, all-loving God waits on us to say help. God wants to help and to have a relationship with us, but we must first recognize that we need him. That's from Pastor Dan on the internet, www.ourcovenant.org. Thanks, Pastor Dan. You know, I think Pastor Dan's story illustrates how a father's vision for his children and God's vision for us is no different. We all want our children to have a better life than us. God wants us to have a better life, not better than God, but with God, living forever with God in heaven, in the beautiful New Jerusalem, with real gates made of pearl, and the streets will be paved with gold, and there will be no need of the sun or the moon, because God's magnificence will light up the heavens for us. This is what we say each week when in worship services you and I recite the Lord's Prayer and say, Our Father, which art in heaven. I believe in the Bible is God's word, and all throughout the Bible, God reveals to us the vision for us. Without a doubt, one of the most exciting verses in the entire Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. And John is quoting Jesus Christ on earth. Once again, Jesus Christ in his vision for us is telling us that he is to give his life for us, that he is to die on the cross for us. Jesus Christ said these words before he was on the cross, before he was tried before the Sanhedrin, before he was sentenced to die by Pontius Pilate, before he walked the Via Dolorosa, which Pat and I walked over. This is the Father's vision on Father's Day, that Jesus Christ took our place on the cross to take our sins, the sins of the earthly Father, and the sins that we have committed, to take those sins from us, off of our backs and out of our souls, and take those sins upon him, and by dying on the cross that Friday, to make us sin-free and able to bring a perfect soul into heaven with God forever. This is our Father's vision for us. The Bible says in Numbers, chapter 12, verse 5, Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forward and he said, Hear my words. When there are prophets among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to them in visions. I speak to them in dreams. Well, I had a vision a little over 3 years ago, and I don't know what it means. But I'm going to close my sermon today with my vision that came to me from God in a dream. It's not pretty, and I don't know what it means. So if any of you out there can help figure it out for me, let me know. One thing about this dream that I had is that it is God directly talking with me. When I have doubts, and we all have doubts, all I have to do is remember that I had this dream that God gave to me, and all doubts seem to fade away. Anyway, here's the dream. In this dream, in the early morning hours of Saturday, June the 4th, 2005, a little bit over 3 years ago, I was taken prisoner by a group of conservative Christians. Now, we've been traveling on a bus. I was put in a fenced area with other people that I didn't know, but I couldn't call or have any contact with Pat, my wife, or my family, or hers, or any of our friends. I saw two black women in African-style dresses lying on park benches inside the enclosure, and they were crying. I tried to cheer them up. The group, led by an older man of slim build, thin white hair, I knew somehow was an elder in his church. He fed us, and he was going to give us dessert. The meal was standard American cooking, but I don't remember exactly what it was. This elder told me that the senator, this is what he said, was senator was right, and that we had to follow him, the senator. We had to follow the senator. I began to rebel, and a gang held me, including one hefty young man who appeared not too bright, and I struggled, and they began to torture me. I could try to escape and resist their torture, but I could not harm them. God then told me somehow without words, that I could tell them that God had given me permission to kill them when I saw them in heaven. And after I had killed them, they would be taken out of heaven forever and sent to hell. I told them, and that's where the dream ended. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. The Lord God that created the largest galaxy in the universe, who also created the smallest grain of sand, lovingly created me. The hands of the Lord God are here in my heart, and they're in the sunshine. The Lord is everywhere, there is good. My God is the warmth that holds and protects me when there is danger. My God is eternal, and I am just a wisp of smoke. But God created me forever ago, and forever he will let me live. Through his grace almighty, the Lord God's purity and love will cure the evil injustice that we humans do to God's creation, God's creatures, and God's other children. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles, following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us the strength to follow his truth that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Today's song is Be Thou My Vision, sung by the group Selah from their best-selling album, Selah's Greatest Hits. The song Be Thou My Vision was written by Daylan Forgale, an 8th century Irish monk who wrote the song to St. Patrick for illegally lighting candles on Easter Eve atop Slane Hill in Ireland. Slane Hill's about 10 miles from Tara in County Meath. It was on Slane Hill around 433 A.D. that St. Patrick defied a royal edict by lighting candles on Easter Eve. High King Logair of Tara had decreed that no one could light a fire before Logair began the pagan spring festival by lighting a fire on Tara Hill. Logair was so impressed by Patrick's devotion that despite his defiance, or perhaps because of it, he let him continue his missionary work, and the rest, they say, is history. I love the words of this song, especially the verse that goes like this. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Hear Selah, and be thou my vision. Isn't that beautiful? That was Selah. Be thou my vision. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Please pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In his name I pray. Amen. This is program number 823, titled A Father's Vision. If you'd like a copy of this program, please write to us at the Jesus Christ Said Ministry, Post Office Box 162-712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. Till next time, this is David Perkins saying so long. I'll see you in church. And be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying thank you for listening, and God bless you.